Any questions?
Yes, Maharaj. The question is, Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that our main goal is to find the soul, but it's not so clear enough how to do it, how to find the soul.
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj has said, he quotes the Bhagavad Gita sloka as Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyevya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabudhe Yo Budhe Paratastu Saha. That in a simple way, Krishna is helping us locate the soul by saying, and it's in terms of our perception, we're perceiving the material world, the objects of the senses. We see, hear, taste, touch, smell, feel, etc. So there's the observable world that we're observing with our various senses. So in this sloka from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Indriyani Pranyahur Indriyevya Paramanaha. Superior to the objects of the senses, the things that could be seen, heard, tasted, touched, smelled, felt, etc., are the senses, the instruments of sense perception. Superior to that is the mind. Right? The mind is the seat of sense experience. The mind is enabling one to see or hear. Like if someone is absent-minded, right? We're calling their name, they're not responding. Means we could say literally the ear is hearing. It's not malfunctioning, but there's no actual hearing going on because the person is absent-minded. Right? Someone say, "Oh, I didn't hear you calling me," right? Although they were clearly being called. So the mind is the seat of sense experience. In other places, Guru Maharaj will also say it's the seed of karmic activity as well, because it's not so much the action performed as the intent. But anyway, here Krishna is saying, so superior, higher and superior to the sense objects or the senses, higher, more refined than that is the mind. Manasastu parabuddhe. Higher than mind is intelligence. And this is sometimes the point Guru Maharaj is making with regard to Prakriti Sahajyaism and saying, we can't, or people who cannot properly distinguish between their mind and their intelligence think they've got the Paramatma world in their fist. So finer, superior to mind is intelligence, which we sometimes call discriminating factor, judgment ability, to weigh, to measure, to analyze what's desirable, what's undesirable. Right? Although the mind and the senses may want to take us down a particular path, the intelligence comes along and says, no, right? Don't do that. Right? So discriminating factor, judgment. And then he's saying, and then the soul is finer still. So if we look at this type of analysis and an overview, we can say it's going from gross to subtle. What do we learn from genetic engineering? Some Guru Maharaj understood that. He mentioned that, you know, in a light way, he said they could get some genetic material from Napoleon. Napoleon was known to suffer from migraines. So Guru Maharaj said, they can get some genetic material from Napoleon, clone it, make another Napoleon when the cure for migraine comes. But I bring this up to say, what we can learn from this in an overview, that identity, or the self, or in this case, Atma, the soul, it's located in the very subtle plane. That's what it tells us. If the actual identity is in cloning and genetic engineering, they look at DNA, but it's more subtle than that, even. That's also in the Gita. What does it say? Sukshma tat tat vigyayam sa chanantaya kalpate balagra shatabhagasha shatita kalpita shita bhago jive sa vigyaya sa chanantaya kalpate. Taking a hair, splitting it into 100 parts, another 100 parts, another 100 parts. It doesn't, we're not to take that literally, but it means to, how small it is. That's the point. The soul, the Atma that's animating the fly, the mosquito, the insect, that's animating the body of a human being, that's animating the body of an elephant. As charge about pasyati kaschidenam in the Gita, saying the soul is wonderful, astonishing, amazing. That same Atma that can animate the mosquito animates the elephant. So it's going from the finest point in the objective world to, in comparison, to a gross position in the super subjective world. Vaikuntya prithivyadi sakala chinmoy. The whole spiritual world is chinmoy. We say Brahma, Brahma Jyoti, the individual units of consciousness. Right? Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say the jiva is an undifferentiated sheet of uniform consciousness. But the spiritual world, we're told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vaikuntya prithivyadi sakala chinmoy, that even the soil is spiritually conscious. In one place, Srila Guru Maharaj has described it as the land of gurus or the world of gurus. I mean, the very soil occupies a superior position. Right? Guru in that sense, superior. So, just like when you have an altar, it's offensive to touch your foot to anything sacred. It's offensive to step on the altar. But it may come, be the outcome of service necessity to walk on the altar. Right. That which is sacred, to take a step into the sacred plane. So Srila Guru Maharaj will tell us, that world of gurus, where the very soil has your interest at heart, the opposite of here, where the very soil may be life-threatening, the environment here may be life-threatening to us, the air, the water, the soil, everything may be life-threatening. It's the opposite there. Everything has your interest at heart. But how to walk in that plane? Only out of service necessity. So in the beginning, this question said something about Guru Maharaj and the soul plane. That soul plane he describes as Shraddha Mayoyam Loka, Seva Mayoyam Loka. What distinguishes it is service necessity and the development of faith and self-giving, Atmanivedanam, offering oneself. What distinguishes the lower hemisphere of the spiritual world from the Aprakrita plane of Goloka, Krishna's own abode? The development of faith. Even in a world where everyone is faithful and everyone is dedicated, still there is gradation. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have Krishna born in Mathura to Vasudeva Devaki, transferred to Nanda Gokul, to Nanda and Yashoda. Generally, we should not analyze the superior servitors, but sometimes our charges have done so to help us have a proper estimation of the spiritual world. So, after Krishna kills Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram are apologizing to Vasudeva and Devaki for having spent all their childhood pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda and Vrindavan, right? Implying that if things had been otherwise, they would have had childhood pastimes with them. So when in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when it's mentioned that for a year when Brahma stole the cowherd boys, although it was a minute of Brahma Loka, it was a year of earth time, that for 1 year, and it shows the possibility, how more than one person can experience the Vatsalya Rasa in the way that Yashoda does. For a year, those mothers get to have Krishna as their child. It's a very mysterious thing. And so, normally, they knew the type of love they have for their children. They knew the type of love they have for Krishna. And they, although normally one should love their own children the most, they knew in their hearts somehow they had some special, extra special love for Gopal. But then, much to their surprise, for 1 year, they were feeling that special type of love that they only felt for Gopal, for their own children. They couldn't explain why. So for a year, let's say, they got to nurse these children. Whereas Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur will point out, Yashoda, Devaki, very briefly, because Krishna was transferred as a baby. So, in drawing some comparison between the position of Devaki and Yashoda, he's showing a superior position to Yashoda. And then he says, that's enough, we can't talk about it anymore, I'm not going to say anymore. Because it's inappropriate to analyze such things to the extreme. But to know that there's some gradation there, that much we can understand. And Srila Guru Maharaj is always emphasizing that point. Where every day, Kartik is concluded, but every day, saying the Shikshastakam. Guru Maharaj would point out, in the fifth verse, it says, Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam bishame bhavam budho kripaya tavapara pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. That here Mahaprabhu is saying, although I am Krishna Kinkar, I am your eternal servitor, somehow or other I am overwhelmed by illusion and, you know, and the drowning in an ocean of nashams, and he's begging for the least position in the spiritual plane. Creeping out, tavapada pankaja stita duli sadrusham vichintaya. If I can become an atom of dust at your lotus feet. That's his expression. And it's thematically consistent with what is expressed by all the great devotees. By Brahma, at the conclusion of Brahma, Vimohan Lila, Tadburi Bhagyam, Iha Janma Kimapyatavyam, Yad Gokulepi Karamangri Rajo Vishekam. He wants to be a creeper, a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so he can get the dust from the bridge bossies. Again, Vaikuntya Pradivyadi Sakala Janmoy. He wants an atomic presence in that plane. Later, very similar but more refined sentiment expressed by Uddhava. Asamaho charanarenu jushamahangsham brindavane kimapi gumilatosadinam yad dushtajam swajanam arjapatam chahitva bejur mukunda parivim srutibir vimrigyam. To become a blade of grass, the creeper, or something so that when the Braja Gopis are moving in that plane of service, the Seva Mayoyam Loka, some of the dust from their lotus feet may come upon his head, thereby consecrating his existence. That's his prayer. Right? Bhaktivinoda Kita Janmaho Jatatu Adas Bahir Mukha Brahma Janme Nahiyash. An insect, again, the atomic position. What does Mahaprabhu express in the Shikshastakam? We say it's Mahaprabhu, but it's Mahaprabhu echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani herself. What Guru Maharaj is referred to as volcanic eruptions, a lava stream from the heart, praying for the least position in that Krishna Kinkar slok. Right? But then Guru Maharaj says, coming in connection with the lotus feet of Krishna, then transformation, the magic wand of the lotus feet of Krishna, transformation. And that's, he said, then that devotee prayed for the least position, but once that's granted, that wish is granted, for some service connection, then because they've been transformed, there aren't any, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam, there are no longer even trace amounts of karma and jnana. Right? We're talking about pure devotion, shuddha bhakti. He said, now they have unlimited aspiration to serve. They prayed in the beginning for the least connection, but once that's granted, once Krishna gives that, then categorically different. Now they have unlimited desires to serve. Das kori beton mori deho premadan. The prayer of the devotee is their beton, their salary will be Krishna prem. Then when the interest comes from service, Guru Maharaj employs the concept of compound interest. They take the interest that's accrued from service and expand the service capital continuously in a cycle like that. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalashvapi Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite. And Rupa Goswami says, so if a soul in this world can transform their karmana, manasa gira, their activities, their thoughts, their speech to Shravanam Kirtanam, serving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, then even in this life, jivan mukta suuchite, they can be liberated. So when Srila Guru Maharaj said we should connect to the soul plane, it doesn't mean in some abstract sense, like the Gayatri, Dhimahi, to meditate. Saying it does not mean in an abstract way. The soul plane, the spiritual world, is not something abstract to think about. And meditation doesn't mean in a passive, abstract sense. He said, but D implies using one's intelligence to serve. Now, bhumirapo analobayu kamano buddhirevacha ahankara ityame bina prakritirastidha. Told earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. This is the eight elements of the mundane and the material world. And apare yamitastanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. And jiva, the soul, is above those eight. So should not be confused with the mind, the intellect, the ego. And spiritual culture is not about reconditioning mundane elements, mind, intellect, and ego. But rather it has to be dissolved. When the mundane layers of acquired prejudice and acquired tendency vanish, then the soul proper comes out. And with the Krishna Das ego, right? Jive Swarupai Krishna Nitya, I'm eternal servant of Krishna with unlimited service aspiration. And then mind, intelligence, everything used exclusively to serve Krishna. Tomorrow, the mantra to be given, and we'll mention Chaitanya Charitamritam Sloka, Krishna Mantra Hoite Habe Sangsara Mochan, Krishna Nama Hoite Habe Krishnara Charan. Krishna Mantram Manatra liberates the mind from worldly mindedness and mental speculation and allows one to enter the positive service domain. Or what? Krishna Nama, Hoite Habi, Krishna Acharan. One will achieve service at the lotus feet of Krishna. Yes. Even all the holidays here are really, if you could trace it back, it's no coincidence that almost to the day or the week or so that they parallel Indian holidays, Vedic holidays. So we just call it Diwali, Deepavali. And what do people do? They offer lights. Deepavali. What do they do during Songkran? They put little lights, candles everywhere. But then they're, you know, what is it? And bread, some other things. I forget what's on the plate. Then offer it to the river. So, Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Our online viewer, Sam Villas from St. Petersburg, asks, what is sin? S-I-N.
What is sin?
Sin.
Sin.
That reminds me, there's one famous broadcaster who was a preacher when he was younger. Then he went into media, became a broadcaster. So when he was a young preacher in like a Protestant church, he gave this heavy lecture about sin to all, you know, the people on Sunday. you know. And at the end of the talk, the service, some older man came up to him and he said, "Son," he said, "I don't think you're old enough to really know what sin is." So, and well, we could say in Sanskrit, pop. Right? Like Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj loved to sing the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, he loved to sing many different slokas, but this was one of his favorites. And you think, the 18,000 verse Bhagavatam has finally reached the conclusion. And because it mentions Nam Sankirtan, he liked it even more. So it says, Nam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa, Sarva Pap, all sin, Pranashanam, Pranamo Dukasamanas, Tan Namami Harim Puram. So, sin, as I mentioned before, Srila Guru Maharaj puts the emphasis on the mind. Even in a court of law, they need to establish either motive or intent for there to be culpability or sin, guilt. So, interestingly, it's not so much the activity. So they have to find out, what was your mentality when you did this? So using that type of logic, Guru Maharaj said, we're back to the mind. He told, seed of sense experience, the seed of karma, the seed of sin, if you will. Right? So, and this is where it becomes complicated. The why. Why something has been done. Guru Maharaj unapologetically, like the quote, the Gita Sloka that says, Hatvapi sa ima lokan nahanti nani badyate. Even in killing, one is not killing. There's a plane that's like that. And then he took it to the extreme and he said, you can destroy brahmandas, not just one universe, innumerable brahmandas, and there's no sin. There's a plane like that. And at another time, taking that further, he said, and what is within those brahmandas? So many cows and sadhus. Right? It's not like you're like, well, we're going to take them all out first. No. He said, no, there's a plane. So what does that mean? It's in the Bhagavatam, or we heard Guru Maharaj's Gita explanation. Api chet suracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyagvaya vasito hisa. It's a peculiar couple slokas in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita about what if a devotee does wrong. And remember, this is, as we're having class here, Guru said, the deva, they have their Gita class, the Mahajans have class. So he told, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking Krishna Nam, like we hear from some of the disciples of Saraswati Thakur who heard him. He's taking Krishna Nam, Guru said, and walking in the sky. He means in the subtle plane of existence. And he comes upon an assembly where the Mahajans are discussing these two slokas. They're also, well, it says, you know, Ananyabhak, Ananyabhajan. If such a devotee does something that's apparently wrong, is there sin? Is that a sinful activity? What is it? And they say, oh, here's an Ananyabhak devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So they invite Bhaktivinoda Thakur to explain. So that tells us something about the position of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he can give class to the Mahajans. And he gives that explanation that You shall declare him sadhu. Kipram bhavati dharmatma sasvat shantim nigachchati konteya prati janihi name bhakta pranashyati. It says in the following sloka, the way Prabhupada renders says, like, quickly he becomes righteous, or dharmic, the word is used there. Kipram bhavati dharma. Very quickly he'll become dharmic. So this seemed, on one level interpretation, saying like, oh, he made some mistake, but quickly he'll be reinstated in his position. That's not what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, though. He's saying, if you are observing an Ananyabhak, a pure devotee, and what do we mean this kind, who's wholly given over to Krishna, to Guru and Krishna, right? If you, there's some apparent improper behavior on their part, if that does not diminish your appreciation for them, but you rather still see them as sadhu, then that'll be good for you. Kipram, but you'll become dharmic very soon. He said, why it cannot be them? The qualification of an Ananya Bhakta, this is Bhaktivinoda's logic, the qualification of Ananya Bhakta is Sarvadharmam Parityajamam Ekam Sharanam Braja. They've given up dharma. They've crossed over that and wholly offered themselves to Krishna. So how can you say that such a person will again become dharmic? To achieve their position, they crossed over that. Svajanam arjapatam chihitva. We quoted earlier from Uddhava, saying these girls, the Brajagopis, arjapata, that means the path of the Aryan. That means, you know, dharmic life, Vedic prescription. They've crossed, what did it say? They rejected that. Right? They've gone beyond it. Sharanam braja, sarvadharmam, give up what your so-called idea of what is dharmic and adharmic. Braja Sharanam, and surrender like these girls, the Braja Gopis, whose ultimate consideration is just the pleasure of Krishna, the happiness of Krishna. It's mentioned in the Charitamritam and the Bhagavatam. At least he comes to class. One more. That they, what is the motive for the Braja Gopis keeping themselves looking beautiful? Is for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything they do, they're looking nice, putting on makeup or whatever they do, they're tilak, their earrings, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. They have no independent consciousness or consideration. There's no jnana shunya bhakti. They're not calculating. Someone asked Guru Maharaj about the Chaturmasya that just passed, that he read somewhere, if during this time or this particular month or this fortnight, whatever, if you do some certain thing, then you get the total of the activity. You'll benefit from that. Guru said it has nothing to do with the amount of time. It could be in a moment, but it's back to what is your motive? If we're performing some tapasya, some vrat or whatever for our own purpose, that's karma kanda. We're superimposing our own desires and wishes upon the higher. Talking about sin, there's karma, vikarma. Professor Sanyal told Guru Maharaj, he said, if on the order of Guru and Vaishnava, I go to read the Bhagavatam, then it may be devotion. On my own, It may be karma. It may even be the karma. Right? That man, the professional Bhagavatam reader, went to read before Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. When he read, so many people were impressed. And Babaji Maharaj is saying, get some cow dung and some cow urine and cleanse this place. Saying, but he just spoke the Bhagavatam. That purifies the speaker, the hearer, the place. It's a supreme transaction. And Babaji Maharaj saying, you heard Bhagavatam. I just heard money, money, money. So even someone is speaking apparent Krishna katha, Hari katha. Shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chistam yatapayo abhaishnavo mukodgirnam putam harikatamritam. Here Sanatana Goswami is saying, even harikatha with ulterior motive by a Vaishnava, not an actual genuine devotee, is like milk poisoned by a cobra. Kim karma, kim akarmeti, kovido. Those in the know, they're even confused about what is sin, sinful activity, what is not. The Gita deals with sometimes doing nothing is sinful. Right? Sometimes doing not doing something is sinful. What to speak of doing something? That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. If you don't do your duty, some blame will come to you. So it depends what's in the background. When someone in Gaudiya Math, some devotees thought they were abusing their position with funds and other things, and they got Guru Maharaj on their behalf to present a complaint to Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur was disappointed. He said to Guru Maharaj, they got Guru Maharaj because they know only Saraswati will take Guru Maharaj seriously. So when Guru Maharaj presented it, Saraswati Thakur said, I could expect this from them, but not from you. And Guru Maharaj was mortified. And Saraswati Thakur said many things, one of which is, he said, I'm prepared to throw money in the Ganga if it's necessary to serve Krishna. And anyway, he said a few other things. But so many months passed. They were in Madras. And Saraswati Thakur, he takes a tour of the press, different places, books are open. There's a Bhagavatam. And this is like 3 months later. And he calls Guru Maharaj over and he said, here's the answer to your question. And so much time had passed, Guru Maharaj said, I'm thinking, I didn't ask a question. What is he talking about? He said, he'd been thinking about that for some time. And then he saw the Bhagavatam opened at a slant. He said, here's the answer to your question. It's a very famous sloka, and Gurudev gave a beautiful explanation of this. It's in that book published by Tyagi Maharaj. What was it called? Amnaya Tattva. Everyone should read that. And it's Swaparamulam Bhajatam Priyasya, where in summary, we could say, a policeman kills someone doing his duty as a policeman. Is he culpable? A soldier, under the orders of the superior officers, etc., in a war situation, he kills someone. The more he kills, he'll get a medal, right? Maybe even a statue if he kills a lot of people. But if he comes back and he punches somebody, he might be thrown in jail. So is it the activity or what? It's what's in the background that determines whether or not something is sin or not. It's a sinful activity. So devotees, we say, Vaishnavi Pratishtha Tate Koru Nishtha. We concern ourselves with the opinions of those who matter. That means Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav. We're trying to align ourselves with their advice, their advices, and follow that. Knowing that on our own, we have a tendency to deviate. Anartha, artha, can one way of rendering it is meaning. Anartha means the wrong idea, misconception. We live in the world of misconception. We're under the influence of misconception. So what will be sinful for one may not be for another. It depends. Gurudev, we're watching one of those nature channels, and they show the Eskimos, and there's a herd of reindeer, and they take one reindeer. And they have, and they actually say some prayers. They have a system. They take one. And we're watching that. And Guru and I said, no, they can get Harinam. Saying this is their life, this is their Harinam they can have. There's a sloka like that in the Bhagavatam. Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Pitrinam. Something like that. So we're more, our concern is, Rasu Varjam Rasu Pyasya Paramdishva Nivartate. Superior engagement. Then Sarva Papa Pranashana. All the pop, all the sin will be finished. Just to try and refrain from committing sinful acts, that's also dismissed in the Bhagavad Gita. It won't be successful. Inevitably, we have to act, to do. So superior engagement is the cure. Because what is Guru saying? At the heart of the matter is hrid rogam, heart disease. Defined as, consumption, consumerism, I want. There'll be no end to that unless we learn to desire superior things. Not to exploit, but to serve. One man came to Guru Maharaj, the aftermath of the Gaudiya Math. Some men were killed or something. He was very upset and came to Guru Maharaj and said, they're all devotees and this is heartbreaking and how can we accommodate this, digest this? And Guru Maharaj said, you worship Shiva? Yeah, he said. Guru Maharaj said, killer. He said, you worship Vishnu? Yes, killer. You worship Ramachandra? Yes, killer. You worship Krishna? Yes, killer. He said, then try and understand what is killing and what is not killing. Any other question?
Sometimes when a lot of seva is coming, you feel yourself inside. It's like a spaceship moving with high speed. So you don't know.
Who's asking this question? All right, okay, I can guess.
And you don't know how to deal with it. Maybe it's over.
You're very a fortunate person. You've got all this seva and you're flying and you're like going like a speedboat through the ocean of, I mean, dandavat.
So? What to do?
That sounded good to me, right? Did I get it wrong?
But sometimes you don't know how to deal with it. Maybe
you're just doing too much seva. You're just advancing in Krishna consciousness. You can't handle it. You can't handle the absolute truth. So much ecstasy is coming. How do we deal with that? What I do know, I mean, that is a rare... Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs says, if in accepting service some inconvenience comes to you, now we're turning to the opposite thing, he said, that is my happiness. Whatever's necessary to do seva, he said, that's my happiness, undertaking that activity. And we saw that in Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj. Once he knows that he identifies something in being service to Guru Maharaj, he's eager for that. Doesn't think, oh, it will be difficult, it will inconvenience me. No such consideration. We see Srila Avadhut Maharaj, he's like that. He never is thinking something is too difficult for him or will inconvenience him. Right? So that we're more experienced with than being in the ship that's going smoothly. Spaceship. It was a spaceship? I thought it was a boat. Speedboat. What was it? It was a rocket ship. Wow. That takes it to an even another level. Anyway, then step outside the ship for a while and, you know, float in space. Look back at all your God brothers and God sisters on the Earth planet. What are we told the devotee says? I mean, I'm trying to connect this to Guru Maharaj. When they send the Vaikuntha spaceship for the devotee to take him back to the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha Ratha, the Chinmoy. You know, it's a Viman, it's a ship. And what does that devotee say? I don't have any time for this. That's very beautiful. He says, I'm too busy serving. No time for Vaikuntha. I think that's the answer to that question. But I used to give an example. It reminds me of that sometimes devotees think they're stagnating within the association of devotees. So they're contemplating stepping outside of that association. So I like to compare it to being on an airplane. You know, the airplane travels at around... I know it's like 800 kilometers per hour, right? Amiya knows, isn't it?
I know the ground service. What is happening on the
ground? All right.
This is not my drone.
500 miles per hour times 1.6. It's 800 kilometers per hour, approximately. Sometimes 900. That's how fast they're going. But we know, especially on a long flight, Trans-Pacific, Trans-Atlantic, whatever. You look out the window, it looks like you're not even moving. You know, it seems like forever, like you're not, the plane is just barely moving. But we know if you open up the door, the emergency exit, and step outside the aircraft, you'll realize that it's going 800 kilometers per hour. Right? So sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, or we become complacent within the association of devotees, and we feel like, oh, I can't detect any progress that I'm making, barely moving forward. But if you step outside, you'll realize that by dint of the virtue of association, you were being carried forward. You were at Rath Yatra this year, Amya? I remember one year, a devotee from Venezuela, I forget his name right now, but he got, you know, there is a million people there. It's not an exaggeration. And they're like, we have a kirtan group, someone else has it. There are so many groups. Right? So this devotee, somehow, it's a very overwhelming experience. He got lost from our group and entered into another group. But it's all like this. So the new group he was in, wherever they went, he had to go with them. He couldn't get back to our... So if they move this way, that's where, you know, everywhere that group went, it was just carrying him along with them. He had no choice but to go with them. Hare Krishna! So, excuse me. That, like that, if we remain in the association of devotees, then by the good qualities and the service tendencies of our God brothers and God sisters, we're being carried along. And in one purport, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, what is the minimum requirement to get a inheritance in this world? Is to be alive. That's the minimum requirement. If you're dead, you know, you're not going to get anything. But if you just remain alive, something will come to you. So, of course, we want to be more than just remaining alive, but be engaged in some progressive movement. Anything else?
And next question is about serving to the devotees.
Yeah.
And it's important, the motive, not the result. So should we?
No, the result is, you can, no. Nuh-uh. What if your service is cooking? And you can say, oh, you know, it probably, you know, you say, this sweet rice has salt in it. You know, well, you know, it's not the result. I mean, it's like, I was trying. No, if you have to do both. That's a misunderstanding. When we say the result, it means we give the result to Krishna. We want to give something, Krishna, something good, not something rotten, or that's been tampered with, or something less than what it could be. Gurudev told the story of Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj, and some devotee doing some seva did something wrong and was saying, I'll get it right the next time. And Gurudev said, Tirtha Maharaj was saying, that's not acceptable. In Krishna consciousness, you have to get it right every time. We're trying to do it the best every single time. Every time you cook, whatever it might be. I remember when I first joined in San Francisco, our deities were Jagannath. And the devotees asked Prabhupada so many questions like, which deities were the most tolerant? And he gave some gradation of like, you know, and percentages, but like Jagannath was this tolerant, you know, and Gauranithai were the most tolerant. But what we were told, we heard long ago, that Radharani won't tolerate anything that's not perfect for Krishna. That's her standard. I will say all the others are so merciful. It's not that we shouldn't think she's merciful, but it has to be the highest standard. That's her standard. And anyone who wants to go in that direction has to emulate that standard. So the motive is to please Guru and Vaishnav, and simultaneously to produce something that is of the highest quality. Once when we were making books for Guru Maharaj, and they were revived to make them again in India, and they were thinking how much emphasis should be on the quality of the book, because hearing Guru Maharaj is always talking about substance over form. And so they're saying, the formal aspect of the book, how nice should it be? And someone was saying, well, that doesn't matter so much. It's the content. The quality of the content is what matters most. And they thought by saying this, Guru Maharaj will approve. And Guru Maharaj said, that is not the plane that we're aspiring for. The Vrindavan, he said, where form and substance are one. When form and substance are not one, then we're siding with substance. Right? He said, but in Vrindavan, form and substance are one. You have the highest quality and the highest quantity. Rupa Goswami gives that sloka, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Padma Purana, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Kshudho Nitya Mukto Abhinatam Nama Namino. So we want that to ideally to be the same. The highest quality, right? Vrindavan, greatest quantity of the highest quality. All-accommodating plane. But, that said, the example is given, Bhavagrahi Janardana. The uneducated man, his Sanskrit is not perfect. This is acceptable. But from his heart, he's trying to offer some glorification to Krishna. That is acceptable. Tad Bhag Vishargo Janatabla Viplava. The beginning of the Bhagavatam, that's mentioned in Narada to Vyas. Something may be irregular in the composition, there might be a grammatical error, something like that, meter, whatever. But still, it will be appreciated. Bidu's wife being overwhelmed by the presence and beauty of Krishna, peeling bananas, offering Krishna the peel and throwing away the banana. That Krishna found charming. But normally we're offering the banana. Hare Krishna.